Hey guys, I want to take a few moments to thank Sneak Tech Sneak Boots for their support of the show. They make it possible for me to keep it free, so please go check them out at sneaktech.com. I use them on all my hunts, and really they've upped my game, taken my stalks to the next level, so check them out. I also want to take the time to thank you, my listeners, for the support that you have given me, and I'd like to give back to those going that extra mile. So once a month, I will be giving away a pair of Sneak Tech boots and two t-shirts to three subscribers of the podcast who have left a comment or feedback on iTunes or Podbean. Thank you. Now let's roll into the next episode. Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters brought to you by the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. Today we are going to talk to a fellow Ginzo from back east, from New York. That's kind of been, he got faced with a certain issue, and I kind of thought it would be a cool subject to cover, is John Napolitano. And John is a shooting sports influencer. He does competitions and so on and so forth. So John, how are you doing today?
Doing well. I've been shooting for 5 or 6 years now. I got into a shooting competition and kind of just took off, and my Instagram page, obviously, has taken off over the last 2 or 3 years, and I enjoy the sport. I hope that I'm an advocate of the shooting sport, and obviously we're here because recently I had my Second Amendment rights violated.
Yeah, so a little bit about that. One of my buddies sends me a little video clip about you, and you were kind of talking about it, and he's like, "Yeah, man, you should probably talk to this guy. He's, somebody from back home," and he got a real bum deal, and it was interesting to me, because especially now with all this stuff that's going on with gun bans and this and that,
there's a couple of interesting things in New York. If you talk to the police, they will tell you that having a gun is a privilege, not a right. Mm-hmm. Which is, you can't even argue with them, because they really feel strongly about that. When you get your pistol license, it says on it they could take it at any time for any reason. You sign it, so I guess that's a legally binding document. But they really don't need any cause to take it, and once they take it, they don't give you any due process to fight it. So that's really the part, because when people see, especially when it's edited down, they see a 60-second clip. Oh, there's got to be more to the story. Like, yeah, of course there's more to the story. Yeah. But what if I really am a shitbag and I don't deserve my guns, right? Because that happens. Right. There are people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so maybe the case is that, I did something awful and I don't deserve them, and that's fine. But I still deserve due process.
Right.
You know. Even the school shooters that everyone knows that's the guy, we arrested him, we know he did it, but he's still entitled to due process. And I think the reason that we're not getting due process is because we never broke the law, and they know if they give us due process, they don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
So I didn't break any laws, and they have this, they have policies in place where they could just take your stuff. So the long and short of it is, they told me that they're going to start an investigation in 12 months. And that could take 6 to 12 months after they start the investigation. So I contacted a lawyer. We went over everything. He said, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to speed this up any. Mm-hmm. He said, I know that I could still shoot out of state, but I can't shoot anywhere within New York. And he said, the only thing that you could do is sue them. And if you win, you can change the law behind you. He's like, but depending on how high of a court it goes to, it could be like, $25,000.
Yeah.
So, sure. I signed up. I said, I think I could probably raise that on a GoFundMe page, and we'll see what it is. I'll put in the difference, but I'd like to change this for everyone behind me, if it's possible.
Yeah.
So, there's no benefit to me to suing, and I'm not getting my guns back any sooner.
Right.
So it's just a difficult thing, and I'm not the first person to go through this, but hopefully I'll be one of the last if we can change this moving forward.
So why don't we back up and you tell us the story for how it all went down from the beginning.
So yeah, so I'm in the middle of a divorce. Hopefully I'm not in the middle. I should be more toward the tail end, but I'm going through a divorce. My wife decided one day, So one day I came home. My lawyer told me to change my Wi-Fi password because she could hack into things, and she had access to stuff that I didn't know how she had access to, like my emails and stuff. So I changed my Wi-Fi password, my email password, all this stuff. I come home. She's like, "I need the Wi-Fi password." So I said, "Well, my lawyer told me not to give it to you." She's like, "Well, how am I going to get on Wi-Fi?" I was like, "Well, you go to Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, your mom's house. There's plenty of places, or you just pay $50 and get your own Wi-Fi. Like I pay for the Wi-Fi, so go pay for your own Wi-Fi." By the way, I was married less than a year, so so she decided to call 911. And it's funny that we're bringing this up because I'm in the middle of getting all the my lawyers has subpoenaed all the police records, because if you don't call 911, you don't get them. So in the meantime, I have audio recording of everything that led up to the 911 call, and I'm having it transcribed. So kind of like her screaming like a nut job, and I'm like, "You understand that I just changed the Wi-Fi password. I didn't murder anyone." And then she called 911 and she's like, "Hey, my husband changed the Wi-Fi password." And I kind of laughed. And I was like, "I'm pretty sure the police don't come for that." So I sit down and I hear her like giving my address, and sure enough, the police come.
Jesus.
So they come through the door, and I kind of say to the guy, I'm like, "Hey, man, I'm guilty." He's like, "What'd you do?" I'm like, "I changed the Wi-Fi password." So he's like, he walks right over to her and he's like, "Did he hit you?" She's like, "No." "Did he push you or threaten you in any way?" She's like, "No." "Did he raise his voice?" She's like, "No, I just want the Wi-Fi password." So,
That's just like ridiculous to me.
So I kind of like just chuckled, and the guy's like, "Are you going to give it to her?" I'm like, "No." Like, I'm more than happy to get her own that she can pay for, but she doesn't have access to mine. So the cop's like, "Man, this is going to take like 2 hours of paperwork and blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "All right, yeah, man, have at it." Right? So what am I going to do? So I'm outside with one cop, and she's inside with another cop, and we're really just sitting there like shooting the shit. And he's like, "Hey, you don't happen to have any guns in the house, do you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got a whole bunch of guns." He's like, "Oh yeah, why?" I'm like, "'Cause I can." I'm like, "I'm not trying to be elusive, but I really don't need to tell you why I have guns." So he's like, "Oh, well, that could be a problem." I'm like, "Only for you if you try and take them."
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm like,
That
"Dude."
might have been the straw that broke the camel's back right there,
So I'm
though.
like, "Man," I go, "You do what you got to do. I'll do what I got to do." So he's like, "Do you have any guns on you?" I'm like, "I don't have any guns on you. I'm like, I'm on me, and I don't intend to use them in defense, if that's what you're thinking." So he like makes a few phone calls, and then Pistol Licensing calls me up and like, "We understand you're having a domestic." I'm like, "No, I'm not. I changed the Wi-Fi password. There's no violence here." I'm like, "The police know that. They already told me I didn't break the law. I didn't raise my voice." And he's like, "Well, if we have to keep coming out there," I'm like, "Man, you can come out here every day if you want." I'm like, "I didn't break the law, and that's just the way it is." So he's like, "Well, if we might have to confiscate your guns, blah, blah." I'm like, "You do what you got to do. I'll do what I got to do." And he's like, "What does that mean?" I'm like, "It means I'm going to sue the fuck out of you if you take my guns unlawfully." I'm like, "But we'll figure it out." I'm like, "You have a job to do. I'm not going to stop you from doing it." I'm like, "You tell me what you want me to do, I'll do it." He's like, "Okay." And we were really pretty nice to each other. And then about a week later, my wife calls the police because so the weekend, this week, particular weekend, some kid in the Bronx burned down his apartment building by playing with a gas stove. So killed 13 people.
Oh,
So my
Jesus.
son, I caught him playing with the stove, and he actually turned it on. So I took the knobs off the stove, put them in my office. I come back out, and she's on the phone with the cops. So I said, she goes, "My husband is denying me access to the stove." So I look at her and I'm like, "You know that an adult can still turn the stove on and off. Just a child can't. You can." And I turned it. I'm like, "There it is. It's on." I'm like, "There it is. It's off." Because there's, the little piece on the knob. She's like, "I want the knobs back." I'm like, "Yeah, it's not gonna happen." So I sit on the couch. The police come. First cop walks through the door, asks all the same questions. Did he hit you, threaten you, yell at you? She's like, No. So she shows him the knobs are missing, and he's like, "Did you watch the news? Some kid just burned an apartment building down. 13 people died." So I'm like, "Yeah, I told her that." So the cop looks at me. He's like, "You know, they make these plastic covers. So I pull up my phone. I'm like, yeah, these right here. He's like, yeah. I'm like, I ordered them. I'm like, but Amazon's not as fast as 911. So, yeah, you know, she'll have them in 48 hours and I'll put the knobs back. So he looks at me. He's like, do not give her those knobs back until those, you know, plastic covers come. I'm like, yeah, I didn't intend to. So they fill out a report. And then a week later, 2 feet of snow outside. She calls the cops because the door to the laundry room was locked.
Oh my goodness.
Which no one has a key to. It doesn't exist. And she's like, the police come and she tells them. So the guy looks at me and I'm like, there is no key. I'm like, however, she can call downstairs because my parents live there and they'll more than happy to open the door for her. Or she could walk around the house in the snow and open the door. So the cop's like, well, why don't you just call your parents and have them open it? I'm like, because I don't need to do laundry and I don't work for her. I'm like, let's be honest. I'm like, as soon as she called 911, I sat on the couch, not doing anything. Like, now yeah, it's you deal with her. Right. So he looks at her and he's like, you know that there's 2 feet of snow outside, right? She's like, yeah. He's like, you know that there's people that need police in an emergency. She's like, yeah. He's like, now I'm fucking here because you can't do your fucking laundry. Like screaming, dropping the F-bomb. So she's like, well, I need to file a report. He's like, then get your fucking ass in the car, drive down to the police station and file a report. You don't call 911.
Yeah.
So he screams at her and gives her the whole business. And I recorded it, audio recorded it. And the police leave and the pistol licensing calls me up. They're like, hey, we came out to your house 3 times in like a month and we need you to turn in your guns. So also the third time that the police were there, she said to the cops, he has guns in the house and I feel threatened.
Oh,
so, which is all you need to say, right? Yeah, yeah. So I kind of chuckle and the cop looks at me. I'm like, there are absolutely no guns in the house, officer. So she's like, yeah, there is. Search it. I'm like, you can search my house if you have the right paperwork.
Right.
So he's like, she says, he's a competitive shooter. I'm like, absolutely true. She's like, he shoots every weekend. I'm like, also absolutely true. So he's like, where do you keep your guns? So I take a receipt out of my pocket. And I'm like, I dropped them all off at Dark Storm Industry, local gun shop, like 2 months ago before all this shit happened because I kind of saw into the future. Right. Like, and I knew that she was going to pull this shit. So there hasn't been guns in this house for a long time. So he looks at the receipt and he's like, yeah, this all looks legit. He doesn't have his guns here because the license, my gun license has all my guns on it and it matched up with the receipt. So they know that they're all on. So she's like, well, he made his own guns that have no serial number on them.
Oh,
so God. He looks at me and I'm like, it's called a Palmer 80. I'm like, and it's completely legal to do. And if you do it in New York, you have to serialize the gun. So what right. I did was I had it serialized. I'm like, it's on my license and it's at Dark Storm Industry. It's right there. I show him on the license and he's like, yep, it's right there. He's like, guy did everything legit. So I'm like, I'm a competitive shooter. I'm not going to go around shooting a gun with no serial numbers. That would be stupid.
Right.
So he's like, yeah, I have no problem with this. So I asked them, I'm like, am I going to have like a problem now with my license? They're like, no. Next day, pistol calls me up. We need you to turn your license in. I'm like, you know, I didn't break the law. He's like, yeah, no. He's like, I know. I'm like, my wife did this to have this happen. Yeah, no, I know. But you still got to turn it in. It's our policy. I'm like, well, your policy is unconstitutional and it's actually against state law.
Right.
Which supersedes county law. He's like, yeah, whatever. He's like, you could come take it, you know, hand your license in or we could come get it. So I was like, all right. I'm like, I'll call you back. So I hang up, I call a lawyer and he's like, just turn it in. He's like, and I asked him, like, is it better for me to go down and like not bring my license and be like, hey, I'm turning myself in, but I'm not turning my license in and then get the arrest and then fight it from there because then they've really violated my rights. And he's like, no, he's like, listen, he's like, just do everything that they say and then we'll fight it in court. He's like, well, we're going to do everything the right way. So I went down, I handed it in, I got a receipt, I left. I didn't have any words with them. My lawyer called up and they basically said, when I turned it in, the guy said, when your wife leaves, we'll give you your license back.
Okay.
So I said, all right. So then I called my divorce lawyer and I'm like, hey man, do whatever we got to do. Get her the fuck out of my house ASAP. So we file an order. We go down to the court. The court decides that I should pay her 10 grand to move out of my house. I pay the 10 grand. I get her out of the house. I go down to the police station with my court order. I'm like, here you go, man. She moved out, court ordered. Did everything right? And they're like, yeah, so now if we don't come to your house in 12 months, you know, we'll start an investigation. I'm like, well, you told me as soon as she leaves. And he's like, yeah, but then we had to come back. And he's like, well, we'll just wait 12 months. And I'm like, well, who's it up to? He's like, it's up to me. I'm like, so you're one person that decides on the next 2 years of my life?
Right.
It doesn't really seem right to me. I think I'm you know, entitled to due process. And then I could see it was going to be an argument. And he really wasn't nasty to me. He was just doing his job. So I'm like, you know what? Let's let my lawyer handle it. Let him argue. I don't want to be the bad guy here. And we talked like gentlemen, and I walked out, and my lawyer called up, and he said, I don't know if I can get him back any sooner, but we might be able to change some things so that this doesn't happen again. So at the time, once she moved out, I was allowed to have long arms again. So I could continue to shoot in New York, but only long arms. And then I go out of state to shoot the handguns. Then she moved out and then filed an order of protection, which I have to go to court in like April 20 something. So until I go to court for that, because it's pending, I can't even have long arms in my house and I can't handle any firearms in New York.
Jesus Christ.
But I haven't been convicted of anything. And then when I went down to set the court date, they want you to plead out. They're like, plead out to this. I'm like, I know the day that is in question, and I'm like, I have it all on videotape. I'm like, it's, you know, my whole house is wired with video so that when this day came, I would be completely protected. So
yeah.
I'm completely protected. I'm like, what? So I submitted the, my lawyer submitted the videos into evidence, and it's going to be brutal
right.
when they see what actually happened in my house.
That's freaking unreal, man.
So, and I was playing over, you know, because I'm sending all the video, the tapes, the audio tapes out to be transcribed. And yeah, I never even raised my voice.
Yeah.
You know, I talk just like this. And you know, like once you're the, now I'm not saying that like I'm calm as a cucumber all the time, because that's bullshit, right? Everybody gets mad.
Right.
But when you turn your phone on and set it to audio record, you're certainly not going to be yelling.
Right.
So like the time with the Wi-Fi, I knew that it was going to be an argument. So I you could hear me punching the code to my house, walk in the door, and then the argument started. So I had that, you know, way before the argument started, my lawyer told me when you walk in the house, you should be recording audio all the time. So I have the audio of like me walking in the door and her, you know, losing her mind and me just being like, hey, it's just Wi-Fi, or like, it's just
right.
the knobs on the stove. Kids died, and I'm just protecting my family. And it was all like, I'm all super calm in every one of them. And the police come, and they, you know, they know when your
right.
demeanor is like, I'm not all red and amped up and like, you know, nasty to the cops. I let them in. I got a big smile on. I'm like, yep, took the knobs off the stove. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and they were all, they were all like, man, I feel for you. I you know, we have friends that went through this. We kind of know what's going on. And then, you know, by like the third time when they came, you know, they walked through the door and I looked at them. I'm like, I didn't take the knobs off the stove. He's like, would you change the Wi-Fi password? And it's not the same cops, but they read,
right.
they read the reports as they're driving up. So I had a good rapport with every cop that came through the door. I
right.
mean, they kind of knew what they were walking into. And I was a little bit surprised that that she never got arrested. Because I asked them, I'm like, isn't that kind of abusing 911?
Right, yeah.
Like, you know, and there was a time where she, like, hid the remote control of the TV. Like, what am I going to call the fucking police? And be like, hey, my wife hid the remote. Or, like, you know, like, she did shitty things. And it was like, you just don't dial 911 for that. And I bet you if I dialed 911 for that, I would have been arrested.
Yeah.
You know? So the police told me that you could call 911 for any reason at any time and they will come. That's I guess maybe that's a New York State thing. I don't know if that's everywhere.
I don't
but,
know. I feel like
but I was.
I feel like if you did out here in Arizona, they'd take you out in the desert and beat the shit out of you.
But you know what? It's not the right thing to do. I mean, you're really wasting resources.
Right. Like you said, you know, people were needing help in 2 feet of snow, whatever. You're taking them away from a real
that
crime.
That was bad. And then what's funny is, you know, the cops all double park.
Yeah.
So they're all parked in front, and then somebody gets stuck in the snow in front of my house, like trying to get past the police cars. So then this guy just kind of, he looked like his head was going to explode. He was like screaming at my wife, like, this is all your fault. See what you did. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
So,
yeah, that's nuts, man.
You know, and then they come and take my stuff away.
Right.
And I was like, and there's a lot of arguments that you can make, but the police still, they're doing their jobs and they have a policy. But you think about the policy and it's like, so I'm 230 pounds and my wife is probably like 90 pounds. You think taking the guns away is going to stop me from hurting her? If I wanted to hurt her, she would have been hurt already. Like,
Exactly.
she's the mother of my child. I'm not going to be violent. I don't have a violent history. The reports all say that I've never raised my voice. So I just kind of like, if you see all this, you're like, well, let's see this guy's background. No, he doesn't even have parking tickets. Okay, he has no moving violations, no parking tickets. The reports say he never raised his voice. Let's just bring him in and ask him what happened. I'd be okay with that, but like, just call me up and like, hey, can't shoot in New York anymore. That's kind of screwed up.
Yeah, it is messed up. It's
So,
messed up. So
at the
I got a
end
quick question about it.
of,
So just, I know this is not feasible and practical, whatever, but let's say you move to Jersey right now. Would they give you back your guns?
So, if I applied for a Jersey permit, because Jersey's pretty tight,
I would say they're just as bad over there.
they would probably
Okay, all right, so
ask.
you moved to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. I get my, Pennsylvania. So, if I drive into Jersey. And I have a buddy that takes ownership of, let's say, a few of my guns. I could drive into Jersey with him. He's got to have the guns. Once we get to a range, I can shoot those guns because I'm licensed in Florida, Utah. I have those other licenses. So I can still shoot in other states. I just can't shoot here. New York has no authority over me once I leave the state. So I still am shooting. The problem is, and any shooter will know this, shooting is a very perishable skill. So now I'm just showing up to competitions. So like every 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whenever I can, I show up to a competition and I put a gun in my hand and I'm running through and it's like, well, yeah, of course I'm not going to do well. Because there's no practice. So it's yeah, it's definitely killing me, but I'm just gonna figure it out. Once this order of protection thing is over, I'm gonna start shooting PCC in New York, and then I'll shoot handguns out of New York. And I've signed up for matches in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, not Utah, I think Minnesota, and there's a few in Florida that I'm going to. So I'm doing some traveling all over, and I'll just figure it out.
Oh man, sounds like you got a really bum deal there. I actually just heard another story over here of a guy, similar situation, going through a divorce with his wife, and she called up and said, "Hey, I think you need to check, my husband." And I guess he had some rounds that he wasn't supposed to have. He got them, somebody gave them to him or whatever.
This is in New
And
York?
no, this is in Arizona, and we're
Okay.
pretty good as far as gun laws are concerned here.
I don't think there's any rounds that are illegal.
I don't. It was something to do with either rounds or maybe it was a, might have been a fully automatic weapon. I'm not sure what it
Yeah, it's
was.
not good.
Yeah, it was something that wasn't, was contrabandy, and I was, and basically somebody had given it to him, and it was in a safe, and they came, and he got arrested. They
They
took
didn't have
all
a
his money.
warrant to search his safe.
Because she was his wife. She gave him
Oh,
permission.
she gave him permission. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, basically. And now he's like, he lost his job, everything. Like, just all because he's born woman.
And it's, I'll tell you, being in New York, I know that it's real easy to want to bend the rules. It's just not worth it.
No.
I have an AR-15. I registered it. Everyone was like, don't register it. Then they're going to know where to come and get it. I'm like, man, if you don't register it, you can't
Then
ever
you're
shoot it.
automatically, yeah, then you're
Well,
automatically in the
it's
wrong.
you are automatically in the wrong, but it's going to be a safe queen, right? It just sits in the safe. You can't ever shoot it. What if I want to go out one day and play with it? I can't play with it. It's my gun. It's a $2,000 AR. I want to be able to shoot it. So I registered. I really did try and do everything that I could right. So if they were to search my house, they're not finding anything illegal. He told me to take the guns out. I took the long arms to a friend. I took the pistols and before everything happened, I already had all the guns out because I wanted to be able to say with like a clear conscience, hey, no guns in the house.
Right.
And if they want to check my safe, I could have walked over, opened the safe, and they're like, there you go, man. And the receipts helped, that I have. I even asked the police, I'm like, can we do something where I just continue on with what I'm doing? I'll never keep the guns in the house until you guys tell me that I can, but let me at least have access to them, right? So the gun store has a gun range in it. So let me go to Darkstorm, check out one of my guns, shoot it in there, practice, and then give it back to them, and then go home or go to a competition and then bring it back to them. But it'll never be, I'll never be in New York in my house with a handgun. And like, no, we have no mechanism for that.
Well, they got no way to really check to see if you're doing it. So I can understand that.
I was trying to work something out. They really, technically, I don't know how they get around saying, that we have a carry license, but it's restricted where we can only carry our guns loaded to and from the range. Because technically, New York State says that you can carry, if you have a carry license, you can carry. You just can't carry in the five boroughs because that's a law. And then each county has its own policy, but state law should really supersede those policies. Maybe, maybe after this lawsuit, that'll be the next thing that someone goes after.
Unreal. I mean, they try to put a lot of these laws in place to protect people, and then I think for the most part, I mean, it just goes back to like they're trying to do gun, ban guns and this and that. It's just if a criminal wants to kill somebody or wants to have a weapon, I mean, they're gonna get it. It's not like the criminals are getting the guns legally anyway, you know? So.
And another thing is like even if their policy was, hey, we come out to your house for domestic three times. We know you didn't break the law. We're still taking them. And then we're going to, interview you, do an investigation, give me some kind of due process. Let me go before a judge. So the way it works in Nassau is they assign you a pistol licensing officer and it's at his discretion. So this one guy just decides arbitrarily 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, whatever he feels like. He's not a judge. It's just unfair.
No,
So
it's not.
that's really what we're fighting. And I know a lot of people are like, well, maybe he did this, maybe he did that. Maybe I did. Maybe I did. I mean, no one knows. No one knows what I did. All I'm arguing is I'm not arguing the fact that they took my guns. I think they have the right if they feel that I'm dangerous, and they really do. I believe they have the right to take the guns, but not without due process. If you feel I broke the law, give me a court date. Let me come down there, and then if a judge decides that I don't deserve a gun, I don't deserve a gun. But I just don't feel that you could just take them and be like, eh, in 2 years, maybe we'll give them back to you.
No,
And
I
also
agree with
one
you.
more thing that I think I should bring up is so after this order thing is straightened out, they're gonna let me have my long arms back. So I can shoot somebody with a AR-15, right?
That's
And I
probably a
guess
lot
that's
better too.
yeah, I mean and but that's okay. Like they don't think I'm dangerous enough that I shouldn't have a shotgun, AR-15 or a pistol caliber carbine, but I definitely shouldn't have a pistol. So when I asked about that, they said, well, having a pistol is a privilege and having a long
And not a
arm is a
right.
right. I'm not so sure I agree with that, but I guess we'll fight it in court. So,
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing the story with us. I think
oh,
it's
thanks for having me.
interesting to to a lot of people that follow me. Where can our listeners find out more about you and the and
So
what you're
I'm
doing?
on Instagram at John Napolitano, and my GoFundMe page is in the bio, and I want to let everyone know if I raise enough money, which is more than my legal for the guns, I will donate the rest of that money to someone else who comes in that says, hey man, I'm in New York or I'm in whatever state and they have a good case and say, man, my rights were violated and if we could continue this movement, I would even do another GoFundMe page for someone else or just for the movement itself. And we really need to start changing laws because these laws are ridiculous. And I do understand why no one has put up 25 grand to fight it, because it doesn't better your case, and who the hell wants to spend all that money? But if we all band together, and there's a few of us out there that had our rights violated, and we could all donate and pay for those handful of people to change the law, that would change it for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love what you're doing. Keep up the fight, man. And good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys. If you like the podcast, if you like listening to what I do and like listening to the guests that I have on and the information that they give you, I urge you to go leave a review on iTunes. It helps me keep the podcast free and it helps me grow the podcast.